This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, fine. We'll also do an emergency podcast. Welcome to the show, Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
I guess this is an emergency.
This is a real, legit 911. Call somebody, emergency. It's an emergency.
Talk to a friend.
Yeah. We have to know what happened. Emergency. Help. Help.
It's rare that the president gets impeached a second time, and that is not even on... That's a blip. That is a true blip in the news world right now.
Not thinking about it. Yeah, it's over for that guy. Right. You know what we never addressed is John Wall is the guy who says you're getting bucket buckets. He is like part of a pretty big, you know, off-season acquisition. We never really addressed it, so I just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah, shout out to John Wall.
Yeah,
for sure. He had two great games, and then all hell broke loose in Houston.
Okay, so how about this? Where were you? How did you find out what was happening? Yeah.
I got a text from one of your best friends, Jesse.
And of course.
It was part of a chain that we're all on, and all I read was, no! And coming off of 2020, that can mean so many different things.
Right. Jesse, who's part of the over-under draft, took the Nets under, was hoping for an implosion. Instead, they got James Harden.
That is right. That is exactly right.
So the Nets acquired James Harden. They got rid of Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and every draft pick between now and the next president.
Yeah, I can bring up, this is who they traded, I believe, or who at least they got rid of from their roster. Okay. They got rid of, these guys all didn't go to Houston, they went to a variety of teams. The Pacers made an appearance, Cleveland showed up. But ultimately,
That was fun.
Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Torian Prince, they all got booted. Rodions Kurucs, friend of the pod, he's out of here. Three first rounders, they're going to Houston, and Milwaukee threw in a couple, and then a couple more first round swaps. So yeah, about 7 years of first round draft picks going to Houston, and the Nets get James Harden.
James Harden, just James Harden, straight up. Yeah. Okay. So here's the breakdown. The Rockets get Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, Rodions Kurucs, three Brooklyn first rounders in every even number year until 2027. Mm-hmm. A Milwaukee first, sure, why not, in 2022. And then four Brooklyn first round pick swaps. The Pacers get Caris LeVert and a second rounder. The Cavs get Jared Allen and Torian Prince for seemingly nothing. And then the Brooklyn Nets indeed just get James Harden. Okay, so first, your initial reaction to that blockbuster, blockbuster trade.
I think my first initial reaction is that's a hell of a haul for a guy who hates you.
Yeah. Well, he hates the Rockets, you're saying. He doesn't hate the Brooklyn Nets yet.
Imagine getting a divorce and you somehow getting like all of these gifts in return. It's like this person who acknowledges like this is not working out. We are not happy here. I am straight up like last night's game, you told me, like you were texting me saying like he's not trying. And I thought that meant like he's not going after 44-17. There was one pass where he almost tried to throw it out of bounds on purpose.
Yes, that was the epitome. It was circulating on Twitter like Christian Wood wasn't open in the post. John Wall was guarded, so he's like, I'm just gonna slowly drift the ball out of bounds and hopefully somebody gets it. And John Wall had to like run 10 feet
sprint
just to grab it.
He threw it to the scorer's table. I mean, this dude was sabotaging his team actively, so much so that this morning they were like, you're not allowed at practice.
And after the game he's like, I tried everything, it's clearly ruined, like just get me the fuck out of here. And you know what, it worked.
He was right. I know. That's kind of the interesting thing. It's like, it worked. I almost feel like, good for you, James Harden. Like, you did everything in your power to get your way, and you got your way. And ultimately, like, Houston got a haul. So that's my first That's my first takeaway. Brooklyn gave up so much. So much.
It seems like that's the going rate for superstars. Almost started by them like 5 years ago when they got Garnett and Pierce for all these picks. And then the NBA had to be like, you can't give away all these picks anymore. It has to be a rule every other year at most. And then in comes Paul George, in comes AD, and it's like, all right, four picks, five pick swaps, whatever. Like, let's throw them everything, including youngsters, including this.
This so looks that seems like, to be the going rate. Like, this exactly. This feels like this is the era of that. Like 10 years from now, we'll look back and be like, damn, teams were giving up like a decade of first round draft picks for a superstar.
Not just that, like it's eight, well, it's four first rounders, and then there's these pick swaps, which sometimes work, sometimes don't. Like, you can't use a pick swap if Brooklyn is choosing behind you. So, like, if the Rockets have the third pick and the Nets have the 11th, you're not using that swap. The swap is dead. It's only useful if Brooklyn starts being shitty in, like, 2025, which might be. But, yeah, it's Caris LeVert, who you love, right?
For my money, Caris LeVert is, like, as good as, close to as good as James Harden. And I know that's like a bit of overspeaking, but when he just gets the ball, when Kyrie and KD sit, he's going to score 40 points for your team. He's going to have 12 assists for your team. Last year, when everyone was hurt, he was like a 30-10 like machine. I don't understand why he doesn't get love. Like, I don't understand why he doesn't, like, why people don't just say, like, he's a stud, and he just got punted. Just punted.
Yeah. I think it has to do with, like, you have to do it for like a few years before people seem to notice or care. Like 1 or 2 years, like, the public doesn't really get behind you yet. But then Oladipo, I think, did the same thing. Like, he was pretty good for a while, and then it's like the third year he's like, oh, now I'm an all-star. It's like, now it's like, okay, we treat Oladipo well, and it almost sticks with you longer than it should too. Like,
it's just,
I don't know if
PR.
Oladipo was great this year. Like, I would say LeVert was better than Oladipo this year.
Definitely. I would say that last year as well. Yeah. I mean, like, so to get Caris LeVert, like, for him just to slip out, I was really stunned. Like, they had Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, which feels like two, like, borderline all-stars on other teams, you know? Yeah. And they had them as their fourth and fifth option. They also got rid of Jarrett Allen, their center.
Who's balling out. Yeah.
Yes. Their center is now who, Amir? DeAndre Jordan.
Or Nick Claxton. Yeah. I mean, they're...
Yikes.
They're thin, but that's what you sacrifice to get a, like, a third MVP, literally MVP, on your team.
That is intense. And all of this to be said that nobody knows where Kyrie Irving is except for on a Zoom with Cynthia Nixon.
Yeah, that's what makes this whole thing fucking even crazier. It's not like they traded... they traded Kyrie. No, they actually kept Kyrie Irving, who's maybe retiring, maybe just missing, and maybe we'll come back and just play.
Right.
Yeah.
It's odd. That whole situation is like a true mystery. Like, he hasn't said one thing about it. He's just gone away for a while. And with while he's been away, they made like a franchise changing move. It's just a shocking turn of events in Brooklyn. And the fact that Durant is somehow the steadying force in all of this is just mind-blowing. The guy who people say, like, is thin-skinned, can't handle Twitter, snaps back at everybody, like, he's the steadying force in all of this. He just goes out there and is dropping 30 and 10, 30 and 15 last night, or whatever it was.
Maybe an MVP candidate.
Stunning. And somehow they're 6-6. It's all so weird.
Yeah, nothing makes sense at all. I will say, this, in a weird way, could be like a win-win-win-win. Like, a four-way trade. Like,
let's hear it.
So, I mean, starting with the Cavs, they give up a Milwaukee first-round pick that they got in some trade in 2022 for Jared Allen and Torian Prince. Those are, like, solid players. Jared Allen is a starting center. Great.
Yeah, sure.
The Pacers were paying Victor Oladipo $21 million this year, and then he was a free agent. So he was probably leaving. Well, who did they get and replace? Caris LeVert, who you like better than Victor Oladipo.
Stud.
Who's only making like $16 or $17 million, but he's locked in for the next three seasons.
Yes.
So they got Caris LeVert out of nowhere and a second rounder. Great. Mm-hmm. The Rockets get a fucking, like you said, Brinks truck of humans. Some of them are 12 years old right now, but we don't know what they'll turn
into. They got Bronny James. They got Zaire Wade.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, yeah. Emoni Bates. Sure. And then they also got Victor Oladipo, who's an all-star. Dante Exum, who knows? Rodion Kurucs, who can shoot. Three first-rounders, wherever that'll be. And another first from Milwaukee, and then four pick swaps. So the Rockets got better, too.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
And then the Nets just got James Harden, so you can't say that they lost the trade either. James Harden, you know, the guy who dropped 44 and 17 2 weeks ago.
Are the Nets the Rockets of last year? Like a no center, just like shoot till you die type team? I mean, of course they're better. They have more talent, but are they now going to play small ball like crazy?
Well, they have Durant, who's like, you know, 7 feet tall, and then they still have DeAndre Jordan if necessary to be like the like how the Lakers used Dwight last year. It's like, all right, we can guard your center with a center if necessary, or if not, we have James Harden and Kevin Durant. So like, we will be scoring 135 points a game. Like one of them will be hot every game, and if both of them are hot, you're fucked. And if two of them are not playing well, then it's like, okay, that's a game we lose. But like you said, right now, they're 6-6, so they're definitely better than that.
And well, I wonder, because there was an interesting wrinkle at the beginning of the season where Kyrie and KD were playing together, and they won their first two games, and then it started to get a little weird. Just like they weren't winning, they were losing against bad teams, then KD would take a game off, then Kyrie would disappear. And like the one thing that we always heard was there's only one ball. You know, when like the Zach Lowe's of the world, like in all, everyone talked about the theoretical trade that somehow occurred today. Mind blowing. There's only one ball of it. It's like, it will be interesting to see how they move that ball, because even Kyrie and KD like felt at times like, who's going to be the dominant force in all of this?
Yeah. And maybe they'll do that thing where they just like, Russell Westbrook and James Harden did, where it's like, we'll switch off. We'll just do ISO him. And because it's James Harden and Kevin Durant, who might be literally the best two ISO ball players in NBA history. Both on your team. One of them will be on the court, fully rested at all times. It might work. And then, oh yeah, by the way, we also still have Dinwiddie, who will be back next year, who's pretty awesome. Joe Harris, who's an amazing shooter. I don't know who else is on their team. DeAndre Jordan, like you said.
And
Jeff Green. Jeff Green, who's pretty solid as the fifth best player on a championship team.
I guess the big question is, can you win without Rodion's Kurucs? TBD.
That's going to be the question. And that's what we don't know yet. And did the Cavs give up too much in Dante Exum for Jared Allen and Taurean Prince? The jury's out.
I do feel bad for Jared Allen. It feels like it took him a few years of like overachieving and having to work extra hard to suddenly turn the corner and become the starter on the Brooklyn Nets. Like, he was always the best center for the past couple of years, and yet they wouldn't start him for whatever reason. This year seems like he started turning the corner. He finally got past DeAndre Jordan, and now he's behind Andre Drummond. Sucks.
Yeah. Andre Drummond, who also doesn't get any respect at all. So it's kind of fun to have those two players on the same team now. Jared Allen's like sees what he can look forward to. Do you know how old Jared Allen is?
If I were to guess, I would say 24.
Yeah, I thought he was 25, 24. He is 22 years old, younger than Obi Toppin. He doesn't even turn 23 until late April.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Caris LeVert's 26. Jared Allen's 22. I mean, they gave up kudos to them for drafting these guys or trading for these guys, but they did give up a shit ton to get James Harden. But again, Kyrie Irving was the only person on this team last year, and now they have Kevin Durant, James Harden, and no Kyrie Irving. So that's...
Do you think that they got Harden to ensure that, like, out of a bit of concern that Kyrie like might not come back or something, like as if to say, like, we have our second piece potentially if something really goes wrong there? Like, what do you think the level of concern in Brooklyn is right now with Kyrie and his behavior?
I would think high, because he's gone and not responsive, so that's pretty high. And then it's not like he's, you know, has a track record of being a super emotionally stable guy. Like, this is a guy who requested a trade and then said he was going to be there long term, then requested another trade, then
record
seems to be like teetering on the edge of some sort of emotional breakdown. I think the James Harden thing is like, all right, let's get James Harden and maybe this will bring Kyrie Irving back, but it's if not, it's also Kyrie Irving insurance. because now they don't necessarily need Kyrie Irving. Like, Kyrie Irving would be the third best player on this team. That's
intense.
A great place to be in. Yeah.
Yeah, intense. I mean, if you're James Harden, this is the team you want to go to, because the team we haven't mentioned in all of this was the other potential suitor who somehow got outbid. If you're James Harden, will you have preferred to go to Philly in a weird way?
I don't think so. Yeah, don't think so. I kind of wanted him to play with Embiid just out of curiosity and to like finally blow up the Simmons-Embiid thing. But I think if you're Harden, you'd rather play with KD, who like you sort of have a relationship with. And
it's just so awesome. I mean, yeah, it's just like they're such favorites.
Your timeline. Yeah, they got the Thunder connection. Like Harden and Embiid might have been not necessarily a match made in heaven either.
Who do you think said no in that potential situation? And we heard that it might be like Simmons and Maxey. Poor Mark Stein. Yeah. Mark Stein almost broke it. He was so close to being the first one to claiming that trade wrong, ultimately. He went viral.
His tweet went viral. Yeah. Which he is wasn't right. All you could ask for. Yeah.
But he wasn't right. But he did go viral for saying that it's going to be Maxey and Simmons. Who do you think said no?
From 11 to 1, it was the Mark Stein breaking the Philly news. I think what happened there, and obviously I have no inside information because I don't know anybody in the NBA. I think what happened there is the Rockets were like, all right, give us Simmons and Maxey and Tybal and those four draft picks. And Daryl Morey is like, no, like Simmons is not Caris LeVert. Like, you'll get Simmons and that's it. And then they're like, no, we want a young star, we want more young stars, and we want eight fucking draft picks and seven swaps. And Daryl Morey's like, no. And so he's like, all right, we'll do it with the Brooklyn Nets. And then the Rockets didn't even keep anybody from the Nets. They just shipped them for Oladipo. So now they have John Wall, Boogie Cousins, PJ Tucker is still there, and Victor Oladipo, who, I don't know if that makes the Rockets a playoff team, but it's definitely like a team of pretty talented dudes with a chip on their shoulder who will definitely play harder than James Harden did for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, just spiritually from a team standpoint, like that press conference where John Wall had to be like talking to James Harden via the press, where he's like, don't jump off a cliff after 9 games. It's like, this shit is icky. This is old school icky. Like, these are two former all pros who just like clearly don't like each other or don't like how the other one's behaving. Like, I felt bad for John Wall in that scenario.
And the Nets are getting James Harden with a chip on his shoulder. He's like, all right, you guys didn't think I'm that good anymore. You guys think that like I was mailing it in. So this is what I'm capable of. And like we saw what he's capable. He's capable of scoring 60 points and assisting 20 times per game.
That's right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So this is certainly not to body shame someone, but that being said, does James Harden physically look different to you, or are we just projecting onto his body because he came into the season late X, Y, and Z?
No, I think he's chubbier. I think for sure he's a little beefier, a little doughier. I mean, he was not playing his way into shape in any way, shape, or form. Like, he was just like, all right, if you want me, I'm going to stick around, but I'm not going to exercise that much, and I'm not going to pass that much, and I'm not going to drive that much, and when I do, I'm going to get blocked. I'm not going to the line. You'll get the shitty version of me until you trade me. And it worked.
Oh, it worked. I mean, both him and Russ were like, we want out, and they left.
Yeah. And the Pacers, by the way, are like the best team in the East right now. And they traded one of their star players for Caris LeVert. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That was actually one of the interesting and fun twists when, because I thought it was going to be two teams making a trade and we're just going to be like over and done with it. But when I heard that Oladipo suddenly showed up.
Yeah, he showed up a little late, right?
Yeah. Like if you're Oladipo, you're like going through the tweets, you're like, wow, that was a crazy trade. And you're like, wait a minute, that's me. Like, how the hell did I get involved in all of this?
I'm on the Rockets now. How did that happen? Yeah.
I remember Oladipo at the end of the bubble. I think it was even pre-bubble where he was like, I'm not going to play in the bubble. And then they were like, but you're healthy enough. And he's like, fine, I'll play in the bubble. But I'm definitely not playing for you Pacers next year.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, fine. And then he showed up and he played for the Pacers again this year. And it was just
pretty good.
So they clearly were like trying to find a reason or a way to get off him.
Yeah, the Pacers have like a really solid crew now with like Sabonis and Miles Turner and now Caris LeVert. Those are like three pretty amazing young studs.
And Brogdon is putting up the line that everybody thought Oladipo would, where it's just like 29-4 every game.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, you're awesome. You're so awesome.
He's like a fantasy all-star this year out of the blue.
I'm psyched for LeVert. I want LeVert. Like, I'm on record. I'm on record. I was texting you this today, and I feel like I've been saying it all season. LeVert is a better basketball player than Ben Simmons. I know people don't want to hear it.
You're low on Simmons.
Yeah. Dude, I guess you watch enough Ben Simmons, and I get the frustration of shoot more threes, yada, yada, yada. But, like, he doesn't shoot. Period. Like, unless it's a layup where he got past his defender, which he can do very easily, and I wish he would do more. But yeah, if it's not a layup, he doesn't shoot the ball. And shooting, you have to shoot.
Yeah, that's the big part. Yeah,
it's frustrating. Like he'll drive and stop, and like if he doesn't pass it, then he just stops for like 3 seconds. You're like, shoot, please, God, shoot. LeVert doesn't have that issue.
No, LeVert's a certified wet bucket. It seems like Ben Simmons is like a demon stole LeBron James's like shooting ability. So it's like still a 6'9" monster Goliath point guard who can like get to the rim and dunk it and pass pretty well. But then like from like 11 feet, it's like, I'm frozen in this situation.
I can't.
Maybe a floater, maybe like a really weird long jump hook.
That's the issue, though.
Never a jump shot.
I wish from like 11 feet and in he shot. He doesn't. Like, it has to be like 2.5 feet. That's like his range. That's the circle that he will shoot from. 2.5 feet and in. Like 8 feet, not shooting.
How's his handle?
It hurts to watch.
Is he a good dribbler? Like, usually, like that goes along with it. Like, if you're a great dribbler, you can do a lot with your hands. You can shoot really well.
Yeah. I've only watched, let's be honest, I've watched like 4 or 5 76ers games, which I think is enough this season under Doc to be like, this is how he's being used and all of that. And like, after every game, I text you and I'm like, it's really frustrating watching that guy. He got benched last night and they went on a 17-0 run. I mean, like, is he a liability? Yeah, especially you have to wonder.
Embiid, like, when Simmons isn't on the court, Embiid's like, finally some room for, like, me to do some shit.
Yeah,
like, he wants
for
to be,
sure.
Yeah, it should be, like, Embiid and then trade Simmons for, like, the best 4 or 5 shooters you can find. Mm-hmm. Almost build a team that way.
Low-key, Embiid is the MVP favorite this season. His lines are insane. He had like 45 and 15 last night, and he was just like just doing his thing, like easy buckets.
Yeah, floaters and 20 footers and threes and getting to the line. Yeah, he was playing great.
Do you think that the 76ers, now that this is all done, they've gotten to like flirt with this idea, you know, for like since the offseason to now, there was always like the back of their minds, like maybe we'll get Harden, maybe this will all change. Do you think that there's now some like non-buyer's remorse where they're like, oh shit, we should make a move? Like, I know that they're 6-2, 7-2, whatever they are, but do you think deep down they're like, we need to make a move now, or they're gonna rock with this roster?
now that Morey like held firm, and Morey, by the way, like is a little bit vindicated because he's like, we are not trading Ben Simmons, and then it looked like he was pretty actively trying to trade Ben Simmons. And then when he gets outbid at the last second, he's like, see, we didn't trade Ben Simmons. I was telling
man of my word
all along.
I might have shot us in the foot, but I'm a man of my word.
That being said, if the Warriors want to trade us Oubre, Klay Thompson, and Andrew Wiggins for Ben Simmons, we're on.
No brainer. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the question?
Oh, what's Maury's relationship? Oh, yeah. Answer that question first, and then I have a follow-up.
Yeah,
do the Sixers need to make a move?
It seems like it. I don't know if you're going to win with Ben Simmons as your second best player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the next question is, does Maury like Harden? What is their relationship?
I believe he does. I think like Maury really credits Harden with like extending his GM career, because he was the one who pulled off the Harden from OKC trade. Mm-hmm. And he has a great affinity towards Harden. And whenever it was like Harden or this guy, the other guy always went away. So they were, it was the Rockets and it was Daryl Morey were always like the ones who were like, we need to placate Harden. Harden is the alpha here.
I wonder if he still really, like, I get the public face you have to like present that way. But deep down, I do wonder if he left the Rockets for a fresh start and to bring in Harden, who immediately like is like a vacuum, just sucks in all of the offense. It becomes Harden's team, Harden ball. Like, I wonder if he was like, I don't want to do that. Like, personally don't want to do that.
What's funny is, like, that probably affects the coach more than the GM because he's the one dealing with Harden, and that did exactly happen. Remember his coach in Houston was D'Antoni. D'Antoni's like, finally, let's go to the Nets, start over, fresh start. It's like, we traded for James Harden. Oh, fuck.
Come on, guys.
I just got here. Give me, like, 8 games to play normal basketball where the ball moves around.
Yeah.
Play with joy. There's not a lot of dribbling. No, James is coming in and you're the offensive coordinator. You'll tell him what to do.
Do you know who is another short-term
signed off?
Another short-term winner. Another short-term winner in all of these trades. This will surprise you that I'm bringing them up, but the New York Knicks.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Here's why. It's a very short-term win for the New York Knicks, and that's because tonight we play the Brooklyn Nets.
But KD is still playing, right?
I don't know, because it's the second night of a back-to-back, and he's coming off of an Achilles injury.
That's good.
So there's a chance that we're playing 1-on-5 against Joe Harris.
Okay, and then the Knicks have a chance. Although they've started tailing off a little bit. The Knicks had a hot start, and then got a little hotter. And then something happened in the last week where they haven't scored 90 points.
Yeah, 89. Rough number. Rough number.
Yeah. What changed there? What went from 115 to 89?
Genuinely, I think one thing is that Alec Burks got hurt. He was like a 20-point a game guy, and he was like glue. And as much as we like Reggie Bullock, and it's like fun to have some sort of like shooting guard with a name, like he was a real piece of our offense.
Yeah.
But we don't have to get too caught up in it. But I am curious if the Nets don't start KD tonight. Like, who they roll out against the New York Knicks is going to be an all-time funny lineup, because they don't have LeVert, don't have Jared Allen, if they don't have KD, they don't have Kyrie. Like, who is starting and who is ultimately going to beat the New York Knicks tonight?
I would say it's unprecedented, but this year it seems like every team has to trot a lineup out of, all right, our top 8 players either have COVID or we're in the same room as someone, so in comes Tyrese Maxey, who'll shoot 41 times a game, or
Dude.
Dakota Mathias, or like
Dude.
These literally undrafted second rounders or undrafted G League players are like being thrust in and playing 45 minutes a game. So
this
it's
whole
been happening.
We brought up how like that backup quarterback started for the Denver Broncos that year.
Right.
Like, this really is the year of like, Amir, you might be the nose tackle for the Minnesota Vikings in 2022. Like,
and then
people are
even
getting phone calls out here.
Yeah. Even that's like sometimes like we're losing even those guys. And it's like, all right, this whole game is canceled. Like, this is ridiculous. We can't play. And that's another thing that's looming over this whole trade is like, also, we might not have a season, but if we do, James Harden's on the Nets. Yeah, for like a few hours, we forgot.
Let's live in that hypothetical for a second. Let's say that these cases do get out of control and they simply just can't keep going the way that they're going.
Right.
Do you think that they would rebubble? Because it really seemed like the bubble had a negative reaction from the players. As much as we, the fans, loved it, it seems like the players had a real hard time with it.
That's right. Yeah. The bubble probably isn't happening in like a strict Orlando environment for an entire like 3 months, that mm-hmm. seems to be like a no-go for the players.
Yeah.
So now there's like, they're starting to make these really lame consolations, and George Hill, shout out to George Hill for just laughing them off. That was a great quote. They're like, the NBA was like, you can't see your family on the road. And he's like, no, I'm a fucking grown up. If this disease is really dangerous, then let's not play. And if they are, I'm going to see my family.
Yes. George Hill, he was also the one who they said, where were you during the national anthem? Why weren't you standing? And he said, I was taking a shit. And I was like, even if you weren't, that was such a flex. Like, wow.
And then also, I guess he led the NBA in three-point percentage last year. So this guy can do it all. He can see his family. He can avoid corona. Now some people are getting corona twice, which I didn't necessarily know was possible. So shout out to those players. Like,
never give
just
up.
Tweeted, did you just see that he tweeted?
No.
I think right before another coronavirus update, like 16 more players tested positive.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I read the tweet that said like four Dallas Mavericks starters, or like four new Mavericks, have now tested positive. So it's no longer just health and safety protocol, now it's like these dudes are testing positive, which that's 14 days minimum.
Exactly. So then how do you reconcile? Okay, so the Mavericks have played 8 games. The Lakers are playing their 13th today. These games are, quote, postponed. Are the Mavericks really at the tail end of the season going to now play like an extra 4 weeks, and the Lakers are just the leader in the clubhouse having gone through 72 games? Like, how is this going to work out?
I don't know how it will end, but I remember in Major League Baseball, the Marlins had to take off like 3 weeks straight up. And like, there was a time where like the NL East had played like 40 games and they were in first place with like, they were like 14-3. And it was like, this doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. And you can sort of get away with it because it's the Miami Marlins and nobody really cares. But it's like, sure, when it's the Bucks playing 70 games and like the Lakers playing 45, suddenly like it's a bigger spotlight.
And really, the most important question in all of it is, how does it affect our over-under draft?
Right, yeah. Like, okay, so I have the Celtics under. They've missed 4 games, so best case scenario, they go 36-30. Does that count as an under hit? I don't know. That's a question as the commish I'm going to have to grapple with. Me and Adam Silver have to do some soul-searching to figure it out.
Some sleepless nights for you and Adam Silver trying to figure out how you're going to do that.
But think about like what happened last year. It was like, Rudy Gobert has COVID. Oh my God, shut down the league. Like, cases are in the hundreds in California.
Jesus.
Smash cut to just 11 months later. It's like, four Mavericks tested positive, another 16 players. This game's postponed. This game will play. This guy talked to Seth Curry, so he has to wear a mask now. But yeah, they're flying to Houston and Dallas. LA had 27,000 cases yesterday. Jeez. Whatever. Let's keep it going. It's like, oh my God, it's so much worse now than it was a year ago when everything was obviously shut down. So I don't know what caused this. I guess it's cash.
What the hell does 3 months from now look like?
Yeah, let's take a pause, and then for 2 weeks, the numbers will get exponentially worse because that's how viruses work.
It'll be like only NBA players' best friends are allowed to play in the NBA. There's going to be 19,000 new cases in Los Angeles a day.
The Lakers have signed William Rondo, so don't even joke. Like, it's possible.
He didn't even travel with his cousin to Atlanta. He's stuck in LA.
Rajon went to the Hawks. William stayed in LA. Who knows what the fuck's gonna happen. There are talks about like, let's take a pause. There's talks about like potentially vaccinating. Like, there is a vaccine. Some of them are getting thrown away. Nursing homes in Ohio.
Right.
Can the Cavs get
Can we give it to Shadi Osman? Can we give it to Larry Nance?
Yeah, like that nurse says she doesn't want to take it. Okay, fucking Andre Drummond will. How about
Sure. That'd be fine.
But then what if players say no? Like, I'm sure there's
Michael Porter Jr. is definitely saying no. Definitely saying no. Shout out to Michael Porter Jr. for being put in the health and safety protocol for a 7-day stretch and somehow in that 7 days getting another 10 tacked on. Like, I don't know what he did or what he did wrong, but shout
Who's
out
policing
to them.
That? Who's policing
Someone
that?
Someone clearly is, and he is the schmuck who's been anti-mask this whole time. So it's like, if you were to put money on a player to get like double detention, of course it would be Michael Porter Jr.
But what are they tracking their cell phone? Like, is Michael Porter Jr. saying like, yeah, I went to a fucking barber shop. Fine me for 2 weeks. Or is it like a guy on the Nuggets following these players around, making sure they don't go to Disneyland?
I genuinely don't know, because like Valanciunas got pulled from a game like 12 minutes in. Health and safety protocol. The assumption is he's gone for 7 days or whatever it is. And then the next day he tweeted, I'm fine. It's cool. And I'm back. And he just played the next game. So I have no idea what that actually means, health and safety protocol.
Wasn't there like a player on the Celtics who got placed in that for talking to Seth Curry after the game, but like players in the game and like Sixers players who were sitting next to him on the bench played the next day?
Yeah.
So what's the correlation there?
That's to George Hill's point. He was like, you're going to tell me that I can't talk to these guys after the game after I just sweat on them for 48 consecutive minutes? Like when I was reading George Hill's quotes, part of me was like, is he a bad guy right now? I can't figure out if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I think this is good guy. He's usually a good guy, but like Corona's bad.
Yeah,
I think he's a good guy overall.
Also, the NBA has to start realizing it's like, okay, we're trudging on for cash, but like, are TV ratings going to be affected if Dakota Mathias and Tyrese Maxey are playing on like Sunday ABC games against the Clippers?
Right.
Teams are losing by 50 and like, it's like some bastardized version. Like, it's almost better to like take a break at that point, right?
What do you think Adam Silver, in his heart of hearts, what do you think he actually wants? Because this is clearly the owners saying the games must go on. Do you think that Adam Silver would prefer to shut it down?
I think Adam Silver, just like, you know, all of us in this world, is like trying to weigh the cost benefit of like, okay, let's shut it down. But just know that teams will have to fold, people will have to get fired, salary caps will go down. And then it's like, once you come to that realization, the players are like, all right, fine, we'll play. Like, we might get sick, but nobody's died so far, so I'm willing to take the risk.
Yeah, because he has such a spotless record. Like, when he walked in and booted the owner, whatever he was in from the Clippers, and like how he handled the bubble, it just feels like when big things have been presented to him, he's always like said, this might not be great short term, but long term, we'll look back and be proud of our decisions. And this is the one time where he's like, he is just sacrificing these dudes. You get the virus. You get the virus.
Yeah. Like, will an assistant coach die? Like, so far, it hasn't, I haven't heard anything about like somebody going to a hospital, right? Like, it seems like if something bad were to happen, hopefully the NBA would, quote, take care of it like they do to all the rich people in America, or you get the Donald Trump medicine.
Yeah, I guess so. It really just comes down to whether or not, like, what's actually happening during the 7-day health and safety protocol, because they have a nice shield. It's like a nice, like, we have no idea what it means. It's a nice broad term. Right. You know, it's just like, he's away for a little bit. It's like, where is he and why?
Yeah. Also, it's like, he's still going to get on a flight and go play then eventually, right? So like, why is he at home right now? Like, it doesn't, these rules don't fully make sense.
Like, are the Mavs playing tonight? I think by all accounts, the Mavericks are playing tonight. And it's like, didn't we just read that 6 of them have the virus?
Like, yeah, I can't remember which guys are on postponed. A team.
Yeah. Atlanta Phoenix is postponed. I didn't know either one of those teams had an issue, and somehow that just got like postponed.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen Trae Young, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, all these guys have played every game, haven't they?
That's right. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea at all, except like you get that little alert on the top of FanDuel and it's like, by the way, if you roster players from Phoenix Atlanta tonight, you will get a zero. And it's like, that's right, how I'm getting my news these days.
Okay, back to the trade real quick, just to wrap it up. Are the Nets now the Eastern Conference favorites?
I guess so. Like, if we're just playing the paper game, they certainly have the best players. I was going to ask you a similar question, which is, like, for the first 8 games of the Nets with Harden, are they 8-0 or are they 4-4 as they try and figure out how to win? Because, I mean, like, the Bucks, the Bucks should be the best team, correct? The Sixers are good.
Sixers and Bucks are the two that, like, maybe because they're an actual cohesive team built with like, you know, a little bit of an off season and some chemistry and built in camaraderie, like that propels you usually. But then again, like, when, if you have James Harden and Kevin Durant and, you know, they make 60% of their shots always, and then you also have Kyrie Irving, you can't necessarily defend that.
Yeah. So I think on paper, but I will say Pacers, dark horse. Now that they have LeVert, I mean, they have the pieces. They have a center in Turner. They have a monster power forward. They have Brogdon. They have LeVert. I mean, they have pieces. They also have TJ Warren All-Stars coming back at some point.
Yeah, TJ Warren. The captain of the TJ Warren All-Stars.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And then the Rockets, do they make the playoffs with this team of upstarts now?
I do not think so. I don't think they even want to necessarily. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure the players do, but I don't think that like that organization feels like the Thunder with better like veterans. Ultimately, like it seems like they are looking 3 years from now as opposed to what they're doing right now.
Yeah. So the Rockets right now are 3-6, so they'd have to start playing some real winning basketball.
Whose ball is it? Is it Christian Wood's ball moving forward?
He's great. Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Christian Wood. Forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's great too. Most improved player potentially.
Yeah. I'll tell you that John Wall now can have some fun out there, if nothing else. Like
him and Boogie look solid.
Yeah. When Boogie's not getting ejected for whacking dudes across the face and fighting 40% of the league, which he always does, you'd think after all the injuries, he'd be like humbled and just be like, I just want to like chill out and play some hoops. He's still getting ejected at like a Rodman clip. It's incredible. Fighting everybody.
Especially because he doesn't start anymore. So he has to get ejected for like fighting Markieff Morris.
Shows up, gets pissed, gets kicked out. It's like not complicated. He plays his 18 minutes, throws a punch, gets kicked out. It's just nuts. But to me, it's just there's going to be so much more space on the floor now for John Wall to just like ball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been one of the fun stories. Cleveland's been playing well. Like they're part of that trade. Brooklyn's been a bit better. I mean, there's a chance this was a 4-way win, which is kind of fun. You rarely see that.
I would say that the biggest risk of those four teams is actually for Brooklyn. I think that they took the biggest risk when it all comes down to it.
I mean, they gave up the most and they got the best player. So it seems like their floor and their ceiling are the widest.
So let's put, to wrap this thing up, let's put predictions down on when Kyrie returns.
Oh,
slash if Kyrie returns.
Yeah. Like,
right.
He's not talking to anyone. He just disappeared for, quote, personal reasons. Mm-hmm. He's at friends' birthday parties, family birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, hopefully he comes back to play with James Harden. Maybe that offended him and he doesn't want to come back anymore.
Sure.
So
that's also a
possibility. It seems like it'll either be soon or never.
Okay. So it wouldn't be like a month from now, like when Biden is put in place and like maybe some like legislature has been passed. It's like,
or maybe he's like, I'll wait till you guys shut down the NBA for a month and catch me on the other side of the All-Star break. Maybe.
Damn. What a tough place to be if you're in Brooklyn right now, just to be like,
yes,
but he gets paid $470,000 a game.
Kyrie?
Yes. And 470.
If he doesn't show up, does he still get paid?
I don't think that they have like suspended him without pay yet, probably because it's like such a like a lit fuse already that it's like, why blow this thing up right now? But like, if they haven't, they've paid him $2.5 million to not communicate with them at all, which is a pretty solid deal for Kyrie Irving.
It's also going to be weird if they start winning games like with an invigorated James Harden and Kevin mm-hmm. Durant. And then Kyrie's like, all right, I'll come back. And everyone's like, well, you don't have to come back. Like,
we're
pretty good. 6-1.
You do wonder. I would like to hear from, and I don't know how many of them there actually are, some Brooklyn Nets fans about like, does this piss you off? Are you pissed? That like your stud and your star who you traded the farm for is just like, or just spent like half of your salary on, like, are you pissed? I'd be pissed.
Yeah, that's a good question. One, are there Brooklyn Nets fans? And two, are you mad at Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, that's a question for the fans. If any Brooklyn Nets fans listen to this and they're level-headed enough, are you pissed at Kyrie Irving? Because I do give him, I give everybody in the league and on earth, like, a long road. If you're saying it's like such an emotionally tumultuous time, I need some mental health days along the way. I get that and I support that. But he hasn't even said that. And so it's like, you're going to have to give me something to work with here.
Yeah, and why not say it? Like, maybe people will just say, like, yeah, like, call in. Like, I don't mind that you're getting drunk as long as you do it at home safely. But, like, Kyrie, you sort of just left, and now we're asking your agent if anything's up, and you're just not returning our phone calls.
Yeah, last we saw him, he was burning sage on the sidelines. So it's like, my man, if you want to take an improv class, just, like, take an improv class. Like, if you want to hang out with poets, hang out with poets. But, like, don't do it at the detriment of the Brooklyn Nets. It's not fair.
And by the way, like, despite all this stuff, he's still balling out, like,
dude,
at an A+ elite level. Like,
insane.
You had him on FanDuel once where he had, like, 6 points at half and then, like, 42 at the end of the game.
Insane.
He just, like, took over.
Yeah. Still, like, a top five dude in the league. That's what's so, so befuddling. The whole thing. The Brooklyn Nets have had the weirdest year, and it's only been 9 games into the season.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens or doesn't with the Brooklyn Nets. All right, let me assemble this and upload it. You know, this is an emergency podcast. People need to hear what we think ASAP.
Yes, I think we've changed the game a little bit, much like our man James Harden has today.
Yeah, I'm glad we weren't postponed for health and safety protocols. We're staying home. We're staying safe. Don't worry about us, guys.
Okay, we're fine. We're safe, guys.
Yeah, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next time James Harden gets traded, maybe even beforehand.
Okay, and if you and I get traded to any of these teams, we'll be sure to tweet it out ASAP.
Yeah, I was talking, I might be headed to Philly because Dakota Mathias tweaked an ankle at practice, and they're out of bodies. So
they're done with basketball players. Now it's basketball podcast hosts. That's all that's left.
It's me and Raul Nato in the backcourt, so we'll see.
Love that. Good luck out there, bud.
All right, see you guys soon.
All right, bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.